Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. How many of you are avid mall shoppers? Or do you prefer online shopping like eBay or Amazon, or maybe a mixture of both? Well, maybe after tonight's tale, you may reconsider about window shopping at the mall. A special shout out to the author, Jordan. He has a novel out that is on Amazon.com. Go ahead and check it out. The link will be in the description box down below. A special shout out to my channel member Kathy and my patron Matthew Bauer. Now, it's time to get spooky. This all happened when I was around 18 years old. My brother was working as a security guard in an abandoned mall, and I decided to drive out to visit him during the night shift. The place was about 30 minutes from where we lived with our parents. I got there around 1 a.m. We were sitting in an old rundown office together, and I noticed he didn't seem too concerned with the usual rules and etiquette of transitional workplaces. For instance, he was rolling a joint on the desk and had a PS2 hookup to a small television he had brought from home. I asked if he was worried his supervisor would come by. Wouldn't he get in trouble if he was caught smoking weed, or if I was just hanging about with him during his shift? Not to mention the gaming system he had hooked up. "Dude, I don't give a flying crap about this job. And besides, the boss man only came by once in the past 3 months, and he stayed for all of 5 minutes. They don't care about what I'm doing over here, as long as I show up." He put his feet up on the desk and lit it up right there in the office, tapping ashes all over the floor. I couldn't help but admire his courage and nihilistic mentality. He was 3 years older than me, and I wasn't used to taking such big risks at the workplace. But he said he didn't care about the job, so I just decided to roll with it. We played video games for a while in the mildew-smelling office. A surveillance feed was hooked up to the TV in the corner with a grainy video showing the outside of the building. It scrolled up and up endlessly, making me feel sick to my stomach every time I looked at it. "What's up with the surveillance camera? Can't you fix that?" "Meh," he said, shrugging his shoulders. I tried fiddling with the dials myself, but it just made things worse. In the end, I settled on leaving it roughly the same way I had found it. After hanging out for a couple of hours, I started to yawn. Feeling sleepy and bored, I was about to stand and say that I was heading home. That is when Noel asked if I wanted to go with him on patrol through the abandoned mall. It was 3 a.m. at that point, and I was tired, but decided what the hell. I was off from school for the summer, so it wasn't like I had to wake up early in the morning. Plus, he made it sound pretty interesting. "Okay, sure, let's go. You got an extra flashlight?" "Oh, hell yeah. Check this bad boy out." He handed me a huge black mag light, and then he gave me a security jacket with the company's logo on it, a white knight on a steed holding a lance. "Just in case anybody runs into us, it'll make you look more official. There's homeless folks who get in here sometimes, and we gotta kick them out, so don't be surprised if you see somebody." "Oh crap, for reals?" "Yeah, but it's only happened once or twice though." We left the office and proceeded into the large open space of the abandoned shopping mall. It had been shut down for years and was scheduled for demolition at some point in the near future. The place was massive, I realized as we got further in. Since the mall was in a neighboring town that I did not visit often, I didn't know much about it. Everything looked ancient though. It was like entering a ghost town where no one had visited for decades and everything was perfectly preserved. "There's some really cool stuff on the lower level," Noel said. "Come on, I'll show you." Going past various shops and kiosks, I saw that everything had been left behind in many of the stores. Much of the merchandise still lined the shelves, covered in dust and grime. I saw bags of chips and candy bars with retro-style lettering on them, with wrappers that I did not recognize. Many of the stores were shuttered, but a few were open, and you could walk around inside if you wished. "How long has this place been closed up for? This stuff all looks ancient." "I don't know, but it weirds me out too. Like, why the hell is this place still here? You'd think they would have done something with the property by now. I guess this mall has been shuttered for decades." By the sounds of it, Noel didn't know much more about the building than I did, despite the fact that he worked there. It was dark, and I had to use my flashlight to see where I was going. I was beginning to feel more and more frightened the further we got. It reminded me of going urban exploring. This felt very similar to that rush, as we didn't know when there could be an unsavory character around the next corner at any time. Crackheads or squatters, you'll never know what you'd run into. What folks you would find making use of the dark, unseen spaces left hidden from the general public. My heart was pounding in my chest, but I didn't want to admit that to my older brother. He was marching ahead as if this was all no big deal, and didn't seem particularly worried. We got to the stairs and went down to the lower level. There was a food court and even more shops down there. I stared in wonder at all of them. It was amazing that this huge place and all the businesses there had closed, and I wondered how such a thing could have happened. Why did this place shut down anyways? I don't know, man. When I ask the other guards who live around here, they treat me like I'm some idiot for questioning it, like it's just the way things are meant to be. It got to the point where I just didn't ask questions anymore. Over here, this is what I wanted to show you. He led me into an old computer store on the lower level. There were monitors and old hard drives everywhere. Random computer parts scattered the floors and lined the shelves. It looked like this place had been ransacked by people who had thrown things all over. Probably Noel, I guessed. All the technology in the store looked dated and ancient, though, worthless for any practical purposes. This is pretty cool, I gotta admit. Oh yeah? Check this out. Grab a monitor. We each picked up a computer monitor, and I followed after him as he carried it out of the abandoned store. He led me over a few doors over. Holy crap! There's a bowling alley down here? Damn right there is. We entered the giant, echoing space, and I saw there was roughly a dozen lanes. A small snack bar, a shoe counter, was over to our left, dusty and neglected looking. The racks still had bowling balls on them, but I couldn't help but marvel once again at the ghost town quality of the place. I couldn't understand why nobody had taken the bowling balls or shoes. Weren't those things worth money? Even if it wasn't a lot, why didn't the owners want to recoup their losses and sell off the remaining inventory? Noel took the computer monitor he was carrying and brought it out onto one of the lanes. He set it down carefully with the glass facing towards us and instructed me to do the same on the other lane. This is what I like to do when I'm bored at night here, he said, grabbing a bowling ball from a nearby rack. I saw what he meant when I looked at the other lanes and saw the smashed computer consoles and monitors, the debris from repeated bowling ball impacts scattered everywhere. He lined up and took a very professional-looking approach. 1, 2, 3 steps. He slid forward slightly, but was careful not to cross the dirt-covered black line as he released the ball with the flourish, and it rolled loudly down the lane, spinning left towards the computer monitor. The glass exploded into the air and went everywhere as the bowling ball impacted the computer monitor with a loud echoing crash.
Strike!
Nice one. Hell yeah, you try, man, it's pretty fun. I approached the line in a similar fashion, and was about to release the bowling ball, when I saw something out of the corner of my eye. There was a person watching us from the shadows at the end of the lanes. I saw them for just a second, and I released the ball. The distraction was enough to throw me off my release, and the ball stuck in my thumb. I went flying in the air, landing with a heavy crack on the lane.
Whoa, easy man! What the hell are you trying to do?
There was somebody over there, behind the door. I barely recognized my own voice, sounding shaky and frightened despite my best efforts. The figure was gone now, and the hidden door was closed once again. What the hell are you talking about? I don't see anybody.
That panel opened up, like a door, don't you see it?
There was a guy looking out at us from behind it. Come on, let's go call the cops or something. He looked at me disbelievingly. It was probably just your imagination. But like I said, we do get odd persons wandering in here. Let's go check it out for ourselves. If there's somebody hiding in the back there, we'll just tell them that they have to leave.
And what if they don't want to go?
Oh, come on. You're such a wuss. There's two of us and one of him.
He started walking down the lane towards the camouflage door at the end. I guessed it was where the bowling alley workers would go through to get behind the pins to fix problems if necessary. There was probably a squatter back there by the looks of it. We had likely woken him up with our loud ruckus. I showed Noel the panel, and sure enough, there was a hidden latch that I managed to find with my fingers after a few moments of searching. We opened it, and I allowed Noel to go first. This was his idea, after all. As we went into the hidden maintenance area, there was a very narrow corridor perpendicular to the lanes, with access to all of the pins. It was dark, and I couldn't see anyone hiding. Not that there was anywhere to hide, I realized. The space was very minimal. And then, I noticed another door. It was narrow and short, with a doorknob that was much lower than the typical scene, right around my knees. One would have to duck and go through it as well, since the top of the door was about 4 feet off the ground. Weird, I said, walking over to it. I felt strangely drawn towards it. I decided for some reason that I really needed to know what was behind that odd white door. Opening it up, I found another staircase, very narrow and steep, leading down a long, long ways.
What's up with this place?
Man, this is so messed up, Noel said. He pushed past me, ducked as if he was going to go through the strange, undersized door and down the stairs. My heart was pounding in my chest, and my rational mind was screaming to stop him, and yet another, more overwhelming voice was overriding that one and telling me to go down there with him, to see and explore the depths underneath this place. Noel's foot hovered over the edge, and he was about to take a step down. Then he stopped.
What?
Do you feel it too?
Feel what?
Like you have to go down there. I almost feel like I can't stop myself right now. Why do I want to go down there so badly?
Yeah, I feel it too. Maybe we should just go back. This was really weird. It was a struggle to get the words out, and the turnaround was even more difficult, but I managed to do it.
When I spun around, I saw a short, squat figure standing behind me in the dark corridor. He had pointed ears and was smiling at me with a mouth full of razor-sharp little teeth. He was dressed in black and wore a hood. His lips and lower half of his face was that of a man with a beard, but the top half of his face revealed that of only by a mask. That part of the facade was missing, like a Phantom of the Opera mask in relief. From the cheekbones and the nose up, there was nothing human. Giant blue and pink worms made up the rest of the humanoid creature's face. They squirmed and wriggled around his huge mosquito eyes and in and out of his skeletal flesh-like nose. Looking at him was like laying eyes on a nightmare while awake. It was unsettling and wrong, felt awful, and hurt my mind, causing a break there. It felt as if everything I knew about this world, about life, about the universe, was all wrong. Like everything had been turned upside down. As I gasped in horror and staggered backwards away from him, unthinkingly, I bumped into Noel. He tumbled off balance from the edge and headed down the staircase. He grabbed onto me, despite not to fall. Instead of saving him, though, I fell along with him. Each time I felt the impact of the stone staircase against my body, I wondered if a bone was shattered or broken, such was the extraordinary pain that accompanied it. When we finally hit the bottom, I was hurting everywhere, worse than I have ever been before. Looking up, I felt dizzy. I saw the hooded figure far up above. He was a tiny silhouette in the distance. My head was going round in circles, and the light of the flashlight began to flicker. That was when the door closed, and I heard it click shut, then lock, the sound echoing down to us. We were imprisoned in the darkness below the mall. I could see stone walls all around us making a corridor that led a long distance in both ways. The place looked ancient, but well-preserved.
Noel?
He was lying unconscious next to me on the stone floor of the sub-basement, where we were now trapped. The last thing I saw was that he was still breathing, and then the light flickered once more and stayed off completely. I was left in total darkness. Lifting up my hand in front of my face, I couldn't even see an inch away from my eyes. there was complete silence all around me, until the sound of movement approaching. Not footsteps, but the slithering slide across the stone that accompanies a serpent. That is when I felt cool, firm scales grasping my ankle, whatever it was wrapping around my leg, and I was too dizzy and hurt to scream. The world went from shadowy blackness to nothingness as I slipped into the nightmare realm of unconsciousness. When I woke, everything was bathed in an eerie blue light. I saw Noel was lying next to me, stirring and looking like he was about to wake up as well. We were in a huge underground chamber with tall, vaulted stone ceilings high above us. The place appeared ancient. I saw strange hieroglyphs on the walls and towering arches. A massive pool of water was right in front of us, and I saw that that was where the blue light was coming from. Deep within that body of water, the light shone up from the bottom. Noel opened his eyes as I was examining our surroundings. He sat up slowly and looked at me in disbelief. "What the hell happened? Where are we?" Then, everything came back to me. The man with the giant worms crawling in his face, falling down the stairs, and the sound of snakes coming towards us. The thing grabbing my ankle and apparently brought us both here. I brought Noel back up to speed.
"Oh man, what the hell? Are you serious right now?"
"Unfortunately, yeah. Let's get the hell out of here. I don't like this place one bit." We began to rise groggily to our feet when the ground started to shake. The stone floor around us began to crack and heave and sway. I looked down and saw the ground beneath our feet was covered in ornate, finely carved symbols and hieroglyphics. One of them in particular caught my eye. It showed a pair of men beside a large pool of water. The next image showed tentacles emerging from the pool. The next panel showed a huge squid-like beast rising from the water. The men were ensnared by the great monster, and then finally they were consumed by it in the last image.
"Oh crap, let's get out of here."
I managed to get to my feet, despite the shaking ground, and avoided falling down a spreading gap created by the crack in the stone floor began to spread. We tried to run, but we were thrown to the side and fell, off balance, to the floor again. Something grabbed Noel. A tentacle from the water lashed out at him and wrapped around his ankle like a lasso in an instant. He screamed as it dragged him to the edge of the water. I reached out to grab him in an instant too late and watched as his fingernails dug into the stone floor, snapping and breaking off as his shrill cries of terror echoed in the chamber. His broken fingernails left white marks in the hieroglyphics, and I watched in horror as he disappeared off the edge into the water, his face a frozen scream. I heard the sound of crashing waves and saw a form beginning to emerge from the blue-lit waters. Rising from the giant pool was a behemoth unlike anything I had ever seen. It was a monstrous squid with hundreds of tentacles, various lengths and diameters, that squirmed and splashed angrily in the water. One of them had Noel in its grasp, and I saw that he was gasping for air, still screaming as the thing dropped him towards its giant gaping maw. He fell, his arms kicking and his arms flailing, as he dropped down towards the pit of its mouth and disappeared. His screams were cut off instantly, and I realized I had just watched my only brother die. Unable to even comprehend the horror of what I had just witnessed, my eyes continued to follow it as the monster rose to even more impossible heights. Its face had a dozen red, searching eyes, and it rose higher than I thought possible, almost touching the distant stone ceiling above me.
"Noel."
I was in shock, unable to move, and perhaps that aided me. I wondered later if the creature's vision was limited to movement, because the second I turned and began to run, the beast spotted me instantly. I heard the sound of tentacles slithering towards me like giant pythons, and I raced towards the door leading out of the chamber. There appeared to be a torch hanging from the wall, and I grabbed it and dashed out into the adjust corridor. It didn't occur to me at that moment to wonder who had lit the torch, but I would soon find out. My feet slapped against the damp stone floor as I raced down the hall and away from the creature. I had no idea where I was running to, only that I had to escape that place. As I neared an intersecting hallway, I heard the low rumbling sound of chanting voices. The flickering shine of a candle against the wall signified someone's approach. Skidding to a stop, I halted just in time, as I saw a procession of a hooded figure passing through just ahead. They did not even glance at me, they just continued their march. Each of them held a torch, and I saw that they looked just like the man from the bowling alley. The top halves of their faces were consumed by giant worms, the bottom half were that of men's faces, with long flowing beards. I covered the flame of the torch as best as I could with a large security jacket Noel had given me, turning away from them. I guessed that they just didn't see me in the shadows, and continued to stay quiet until their low rumbling chants were no longer audible. Once I was sure that they were gone, I ran down the way that they had come from, thinking it might lead me out. Either way, I wanted to get as far from them as possible, so I went the opposite direction they were going. I turned right down another corridor, and after running that way for a long while, I chanced up the staircase where we had fallen down. Running up the steps as fast as I could, I found the door was still locked at the top. There was no other choice but to try to break it down. With no real space at the top stair to take a running start, it was difficult to knock the door down, but I tried. I rammed into it with my shoulder again and again until it hurt like hell, and then I switched to the other side. Nothing I did made any difference. The door was solid. I screamed and banged on it with my fist desperately, hoping someone would hear me to come let me out. Panicked thoughts were running through my brain, and all I knew was that I had to get out of there in that moment. My heart was pounding in my chest, and I was covered in sweat, shaking and terrified, hammering on the door over and over again. Then the sound of low, rumbling chants came from the bottom of the stairs, and I saw flickering candlelight coming from down the hall, drawing nearer. My cries for help rose in pitch and volume as I banged on the door once more, jiggling the handle and doing anything I could to get it open. And then I heard the sound of a key turning in the lock, and it opened, revealing a tall man wearing a security guard's uniform. "Who the hell are you?" he asked. Pushing past him, I ran out of there and made my way onto the darkened bowling alley where he caught up with me. He grabbed my arm and stopped me. Wrenching it away from him, I began to scream again, hysterical. "We need to get out of here! Worm people, squid monsters, they got Noel!" The man in the security uniform looked at me crazy. "Oh, come on, for heaven's sake. Noel's getting high during work again, isn't he? What are you guys doing, tripping on mushrooms or something? And what the hell are you talking about? Worm people and squid monsters? Really?" I saw his jacket said, "Supervisor" on it. Despite my immediate loathing for the man, I was happy that he was there. At least he opened the door with his grandmaster key, allowing me to escape. "I'm Noel's brother, and I was giving him some much-needed backup down there. You guys made him patrol this place alone, and now he's dead because of it. There's a murderous secret society living beneath us in this underground temple right now. They're sacrificing people to some giant squid monster." He looked at me crazy again. "Yeah, okay. So not mushrooms then. You on LSD? What kind of weird stuff do you kids do these days? Either way, tell Noel that when you see him that he's fired." The guy let me go and I ran out of there as fast as I could, screaming in grief and frustration, threatening to sue and call the police. Instead, I got back to my car and drove home. Obviously, I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned, trying to figure out what I could tell my parents. When the sun rose, I would have to explain to them that their eldest son was dead, killed by a giant carnivorous squid monster. They wouldn't take that well. Hours passed, and finally the sun came up. After I heard my folks had been up for a little while, I went out to the living room to tell them what had happened. At least a version of that they would be able to accept. What that was, I still didn't know. They said good morning, and they saw my face and looked at me with worried eyes. I opened my mouth to tell them what had happened, and then the front door opened. It was Noel, returning from his night shift. He came in the front door looking fresh, despite what had happened. He was unscathed and didn't have a scratch on him. His fingernails were shiny and clean, healthy looking, despite the fact that I had seen them break off as he was dragged across the stone floor of the sacrificial chamber. And that was then that I knew that was not my brother. The worms beneath his skin squirmed and wiggled just for a moment, as if hearing my mind's protest, deforming his facial features. Then it smoothed out and became plain again. Noel came up the stairs and smiled, looking at me. "Morning, little bro, gotta say. I'm surprised to see you awake so early. You had a late night after all." Speechless, I stared at him with my jaw hanging down. "Early bird catches the worm," my mom said cheerfully. "Now, who wants breakfast?"